Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. All right, I got to shut off my notifications. As soon as I said that, notifications were coming in. So just one sec, boom. Because we're live, this stuff happens. Anyways, we are broadcasting to you live from Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Now, by the way, if you are watching this on a replay, skip it. Just go right to the good stuff. And if you are watching it on my profile page, head over to the official site, Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy. And there's going to be the whole episode, as well as clips, highlights, and other content. So, Kelsey, you out there?
I am. I'm here.
I know you're here today because you're back home for a day.
Yes, that's right. I have a little bit of a different background today. I'm above you.
Yes, you are.
It looks like Alan is here.
All right.
Hello, hey, Alan. Welcome.
So we do have an interesting lineup this week. Yes. We're going to be adding a special episode, which I'll get into at the end of the podcast. But anyways, Kelsey, tell everybody what they have to do.
Subscribe to us on social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, everything, even TikTok. So, but if there's one thing you can all do, if you're watching this, please just pause, take out your phone, look up Lunch with Norm on wherever you get podcasts, whether it's Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, whatever it is. Hit that subscribe button. It does so much for us. It really helps. And also, if you're watching right now, like and share this video. And yeah.
And hit that thing. Hit the like.
Smash that
like. Smash them. Ring a bell, whatever that is.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So thank you, Kelsey, for that. And remember, we do have a newsletter that doesn't suck. So if you head over to Lunch with Norm website and you subscribe to the newsletter, I promise you we're not soliciting you for anything. We just want to get out different content to make you a better online seller. And if you have any people that you think would fit into this podcast, just let us know. So that being said, I've got a really great his head's already big. Anyways, I got a really great special guest, Paul Barron, on the show today. He's a very good friend of mine. He's also a business partner of mine. And Paul is a million-dollar seller. And the way that he got to that million-dollar status is really quite incredible. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. He's an amazing.com instructor with ASM5. You may notice him if you've gone through that side of it. And he's also an expert with chatbots, so chatbot marketing automation. And he is the founder of the Messenger Bot University. Also, his own brands have been featured on Rachel Ray and in Forbes magazine. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a cup of coffee. Oh, and by the way, we have a special guest today. So I didn't expect this, but anyways, another partner of ours, Shane Oglo, is going to be joining us to be talking about more influencer marketing. So now sit back, relax, and enjoy a cup of coffee. And Paul, are you there?
I am. I got my coffee. It's not as cool.
You got your coffee? I've got my coffee. Your mug. There.
Your mug is way cooler than mine. I mean, this isn't even a mug, so.
So how's it going, buddy?
Good, man. I feel like I'm living at the base of Mount Doom. We live in Colorado, and there is a wildfire about 35 miles west of us that grew, let's see, it was 25,000 acres 2 days ago, and today it's 56,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we've been having like ash raining down on our heads and stuff, so it's interesting.
Yeah, well, at the time of this podcast, we've had some really cloudy days, and that's what we've heard, that some of these wildfires in Canada have been causing this haze that's been going overhead. So, yeah, hopefully that doesn't spread too far.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. Okay, now why don't we bring in this other guy?
Mr.
There he is. Now this is the the gruesome threesome. All right. Hey, Shane, how are you?
Good. Now we're getting serious. I'm here. And I'm only here for comedic relief, by the way. Like, I'm just going to crack the odd joke, and that's pretty much it.
No, tell them the real reason why you're here, Shane.
That's the reason.
No. Oh, you guys, apparently I was supposed to reply to email. I didn't know that I was supposed to reply to the email.
Okay. So the real reason Shane's on, he is our partner, but someone didn't answer the emails. It's a holiday today, and... I thought that someone just wasn't answering emails. So I said, Shane, we got to get you on. What do you want to talk about? Like 5 minutes beforehand, Kelsey, get some sort of script together. So Shane, being the good guy that he is, he was going to come up, even though he was going to curl up in the fetal position while we were doing this podcast. But anyways, thank you, Shane, for coming on. But you know what, guys? This is something, this is a topic that we can all talk about. So we wanted to talk about influencer marketing. So, you know, we all three of us are involved with that. And also we're all involved with an influencer marketing company, which we can talk about a little bit later. But anyways, let's get into it and let's talk a little bit about influencer marketing and your experience with it, Paul.
Yeah. So it's funny because we've been doing this and I didn't really think of it as influencer marketing until I started telling people what we're doing and how we're like the results that we're getting. And we've been, we have basically a tribe of influencers that we built in our brand over the past, 3.5-4 years. And, when we launched on Amazon, so we launched in 2015 on Amazon. I probably picked one of the more interesting, like hard to market products. Would you agree, Norm?
I think it's pretty darn tough. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I had to get super creative in how we're going to be marketing our products because it's super seasonal. You know, really in reality, like each purchaser really only needs one or two of what we sell. And, being that it's super seasonal, people really only need one or two ever of what we sell. I had to come up with ways to really get our name out there. And I come from more of a traditional background in digital marketing in general. And so when I started on Amazon, you know, my head started thinking, or I started going into the direction of how can we, you know, build a brand that is the number one in our space. And we've done a really good job of that over the past, I would say, 4 to 5 years. I mean, last year, Parents.com named our brand the best in the space for our category, which is a huge compliment since we sell to parents. You know, we're a baby brand. Having parents.com name us the best in our class is flattering. And one of the ways that I feel like we've gotten there is through influencer marketing. And it's not what you would traditionally think of as influencer marketing, really. I mean, most of the time when you say influencer marketing, you know, what pops in your head immediately, I think of like the Kim Kardashians of the world or, you know, like Instagram famous type people that have, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. And that just kind of seems unattainable. I mean, before we established the program, which I now call our Nano Influencer Framework, it's a brand rep. It's just a group of brand reps in our business is really how it started 3 or 4 years ago. We had experimented with paying influencers because we needed, I just wanted more social proof. And I was kind of shocked at how much it cost to work with them. And this was 4 or 5 years ago. About 4 years ago, we started doing this. And it was like $150 to $200 per post that we were paying. And these were people with reach of like, I don't know, 10,000, 25,000 or something. No, the photos were amazing. But I just didn't like the idea of having to pay $150 every single time somebody posted about my brand and talked about us. And so since we're in the baby space, I noticed that there's a lot of things. There are a lot of brand rep searches or a lot of brand reps being used on Instagram. I'm gesturing like this is Instagram. This is the representation of Instagram. But on Instagram, if you just go to Instagram and just start typing brand rep search, the hashtag. So the hashtag for brand rep, there's 3.3 million posts. And if the hashtag for brand rep search, there's 1.7 million posts currently on Instagram. And so I was like, okay, this would be cool. I wanted to build a brand rep team. And if you're not familiar with this, what a brand rep is, it's basically someone on Instagram that gets products for free in exchange for them taking pictures of their kids or themselves in your products that you're providing them.
So, and Paul, that's another word for that is brand ambassador.
Yep, brand ambassador.
Right. Okay.
Yep. That makes a lot more sense. Like, the brand ambassador term is a lot more well understood outside of Instagram. Instagram, like, it's a very unique niche term, brand rep. And most of the time, brand reps on Instagram are moms with kids, and the kids are actually the brand reps. So being that I picked such a challenging product to market, a lot of these brand reps, or brand rep teams on Instagram, they would incentivize people, you know, to continue purchasing from them with like a discount code or something. And so, you know, think they had like full clothing lines, for example. And so, like, this is a company that somebody really liked the products of. So if you wanted to be a brand rep, you'd get like a 25% discount if you just posted about them all the time. So that seemed cool to me, but I couldn't think of a way to make it work for our brand, because really you don't need to buy more than one or two of what we sell, which, again, in terms of a business model, a little bit challenging. But in terms of like the value proposition that we bring, it's highly marketable. And the PR element is really good there. So long story short, we've built this program up for the past 4 years, and we have, I would say, like a small army, you know, a couple hundred women that have rep for us over the past 3 years. Many of them, like, that were our reps for term one, are still our reps, and they have become personal friends of ours, actually, which is awesome. Because I started this program because I wanted to get more social proof and get more exposure about our brand and really connect with our customers, like our 100 perfect people, if you will. And we did just that. And over the course of, I think, 3 or 4 years, we've been able to get about 6,000 lifestyle photos.
Just one sec. So you've got, by building up your brand ambassadors, you've been able to get roughly 6,000 images. Those images would have cost you, let's say on the low end, $25, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, on the higher end, maybe $100 or $200.
Yeah.
So building this brand ambassador culture, mm-hmm. not only have you got these people that are loving your product, but you just saved a ton of money.
Yeah. And that was what I was after initially. I just wanted to build our Instagram presence. I wasn't thinking about all of the peripheral things. I mean, going into it, we did say, hey, this would be cool if we could get the original photos. So we went to our lawyer and we had him make a contract that basically the influencer releases rights to their photo to us so that we can use it for marketing purposes. And, you know, we don't want to have something like 10 years down the road where somebody comes back and says, we took that for you and you can't use it and we're going to sue you. So it's more of covering our bases. But really, we get the original photo, not the one that is shared on Instagram. So that's our library is pretty massive of like high quality originals.
So Shane, have you been using brand ambassadors with any of your brands?
Well, yes and no. So, you know, back, you know, when like Thomason and those types of platforms first came out, you know, I went a little bit crazy on them. And it would be typically just before the holidays, I'd try this just like everyone else, right? And a lot of people didn't know what they're doing. And I fell into that kind of early trap where I think, you know, you would go, you'd find influencers with big audiences that seemed to, you know, it seemed like your product would probably resonate with them. But I did not do my due diligence with those. And, you know, we spent not necessarily a lot of money, but certainly a lot of time. But most everyone was paid. We paid for gift guides and things that weren't effective for me. I wasn't looking at the engagement. I wasn't really diving deep in the influencer. I just saw some stats up front and tried to make it work. And it didn't work very well. And, you know, I think what Paul is saying, you know, you think of influencers and a lot of people look for those big numbers right away and thinking, oh, man, this will blow up my sales. when in reality, sometimes the smaller audiences are more effective because they're actually engaged. They're following the people for a reason. They resonate with them. They like their advice. They, you know, whatever. They relate to that person. And you get way more bang for your buck, I think. So, you know, to answer your question, yes and no. At first, boy, it was, we were all over the map and didn't do a very good job at it until we really figured out that it's all about engagement, and micro-influencers can be much more effective. Now, that's that being said, if you got $1 million or however much it costs for like Kim Kardashian or someone, you know, you could probably blow up your business and do it. But let's face it, 99% of it aren't in that position to do something like that. So I love the nano influencer framework that Paul's
And I do have a question going back to Paul in a second, but I just wanted to give a quick shout out again. Alan, thanks for listening again. Yelchin, wow, these are some familiar people that I'm seeing here. And Messi, welcome back. Oh, so nice again, guys, if you have any question, just, you know, shoot it over in the comment box. But Paul, there's a difference between an influencer that you would go over to a platform like Intellifluence, Thomason, and pay for somebody to go and promote your product compared to what you're doing, which is building this culture around your product that people want to actually buy the product, show the product, give you images. I mean, they love your product. In fact, you just said this, but let's expand on that. You actually bring your brand ambassadors out to events. You are friends with these people that are helping you grow your business, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's, it really is kind of a feel good thing for me, honestly. I mean, we started this just with the hopes that we would get, I don't know, 10 or 20 women that would want to take pictures of their kids and our stuff. And it's turned into this community of women that are, they've all become friends together online. And then the ones that are actually friends in person, they'll like refer their friends to the program. And prior to COVID, we didn't do this year because of COVID, but we take a road trip every year and we just tell our team, hey, we're going to be, these are the stops. If you live along the way, we'd love to hang out. And so the last 2 years we had done that, and we had stopped and met up with a bunch of our brand reps and brand ambassadors throughout America. And it's been super cool because we have developed like real relationships with them where, I mean, Ashley, so we have one that lives in, you guys know Mike McClary, his neck of the woods in St. Louis area. And so we see her typically like once or twice a year. I mean, she's become friends with my wife. They text all the time. Mm-hmm. But really what it comes down to is like what we've done is we've put together this system where it's a mutually beneficial relationship between the influencer and then and us. Because a lot of these women, I mean, you can make decent, really good money as an influencer. I mean, the average rate for a post of someone that has over 10,000 followers, say like 10 to 20, up to 100,000, the average rate is around $500 to $1,500 per post that these women can make.
So what kind of following do they have to get that kind of money?
Typically, they're going to need over 10,000. Yeah. And so a lot of the women that we work with, we do have a handful. I think I would have to look at, I know for sure we have at least five that are over 10,000. We have one of our friends who's become, I would say friend is soft, but more of an acquaintance. But we had worked with an Olympian a couple years ago. And she has like a 250,000. We haven't done much with her since because she's really focused on like racial equality and that sort of stuff right now. But this program has kind of put us into a position where we can reach out to bigger brands and we can reach out to bigger influencers. In fact, I'm not going to say his name, but if I say Olympics or Olympian, everybody would know who this guy is. We had, an agent for an Olympian reach out to us last fall, ended up going nowhere because they wanted a massive amount of money. But I just thought that was cool because all the buzz that we're building with this, the press that we're getting as a result of this as well, is putting us in a position where, and we're a 5-year-old brand that we don't, you know, we're in an industry that's been around that was started really in 1970, 1980s ish. And so it's fairly entrenched and we're only 5 years old. And, you know, we're getting on best of lists and getting noticed from probably the number one Olympian in the world. It's
oh, it's Eddie cool. the Eagle. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Eddie the Eagle. Exactly.
Who was awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could outline a little bit more how it works or, I mean.
Yeah. Like, again, probably a lot of people that are hearing this for the first time, they might be thinking, and it's so important you don't go down the road of thinking about the influencer. Influencers are important, and you can use influencers in different ways. You can get them to provide lifestyle, like lifestyle photos right now, and video is so important that you can use that, especially on Amazon. Amazon's saying, look it, we're giving you the tools to build a social platform so you can build a brand around your community. So you can do it with images and video. It can take a lot of work. It can be a lot of money. But what Paul's doing is it's a different way that you invest a bit to get a lot. And as long as you can develop this performance-based culture around the brand ambassador, I mean, it's wide open. And I know Paul's brands, and it would be tough for me to go into that category knowing how tough it would be to market it. And, you know, seasonal for number one, saturated, you know, no pun intended. But anyways,
if you don't know what I sell, literally, it'll take you like 5 minutes of Googling.
Yeah, figure that one out. So anyway, you know, this is a way that you can do this to build up an audience. And again, any tips or, you know, any advice that you can give on how you can start to build this?
Yeah, so what I would say is don't focus on some one-off relationships. You want to come up with a mutually beneficial relationship that is going to appeal to both the influencer and well, obviously makes sense for you as a brand. And the other thing that I would say is, again, this term nano influencer, I really thought that I had coined that, but after doing some Googling, that term apparently has been around since, I don't know, 2017. So it is kind of a recognized term, but, you know, back when influencer marketing first became a thing, I guess, I don't know, five, 10 years ago, I don't even know how long it's been out there. People really focused on, you know, working with these big name people. And at the time, you know, it worked extremely well and it was super cost effective because nobody was doing that before. I mean, you could get, you know, someone with like a million reach for, I don't know, a couple $100. Now it's like, you know, ballooned. It's super expensive to work with mega influencers, other influencers. And so what brands have done is they've started adapting there. It's not about reach, it's about engagement. And so the way that I think is that if, you know, say we have on average, the majority of our brand ambassadors have about 1,000 people following them on Instagram. So let's just say that we have 100 people with 1,000 people following them. That's still 100,000 in reach. But the best thing about this is that 100,000 in reach, the engagement is so much higher than if you worked with one person that had 100,000 in reach. Not only is the engagement higher, but the amount of photos and saturation that you get working with 100 people as opposed to one is substantially higher. And it is extremely cost effective. You know, if you're going to pay someone for a post like that, like Norm said, they have about 100 or 1,000 followers. You're looking at maybe $25 to $50 if you pay them. Now, if you set up something like what we run and we manage, internally in our own business, and we're starting to manage for other people. What we really focus on is building a tribe of people that we reward them in other ways. We have a bunch of different contests where we're incentivizing them to share content all the time, to come up with cool ideas for sharing content. Let's say like this past Father's Day, we needed more pictures of dads. And so we just asked them, hey, can you go take a bunch of photos? We need some photos with dads. And like within a day, we had like 15 or 20 photos featuring fathers. So just think about it like this, right? Let's say that if that was you and you needed a bunch of photos of your product, maybe you're not the ideal user and you can't use your family, how would you go about doing that? The only option I could think of is hiring a lifestyle photographer. And let's say that you do that. I mean, I would say an inexpensive shoot is like $300 to $500. I mean, that's super.
You're on. Yeah, bang on. Yep.
Like super cheap.
Yep.
And we've done a couple of those shoots, you know, $500, and we end up getting like 10 or 20 photos, but they're all of our kids because our kids are featured in our products. And that's why it's so cheap, for one, because we're not having to pay for models. They're really great photos, but they're all of our kids. Now, using this method, what we do is we have thousands of photos featuring hundreds of different kids. And so you're not having the same model in every single one of your photos. And that's where, like, if you look at any marketing, like, one of the holy grails in marketing is user-generated content. And what we've done is we've systematized this approach to getting that user-generated content. And so how we get those photos because they share them with us directly to our Dropbox. But additionally, like, they're all over Instagram, all over social media, all over Facebook, and they're being posted by real users of our products that have friends that follow them that are in that same life stage that are being influenced by these photos. And so that's why I call them influencers, even though I would say if you ask them, they may just say that they're just moms and they just like the brand rep group because we're fun and we have fun contests. And a few of them do think of themselves as influencers. And so their goal is to increase their following base so that they can get paid. But I mean, that's one of the reasons why we put this together, so that we could, for those people, if they wanted to increase their influence and start getting paid, we kind of like teach them how to do that. We kind of hold their hand. And it's cool because a lot of our brand reps now have been starting to get proposals. Other brands will reach out to them and give them, like, you know, pay them and give them free things to promote. So I'm stoked because a lot of these women, again, like I said, they first started working with us and we were the only one that like they've ever worked with. And now they have like 4 or 5 or 6 or, you know, sometimes 10 other brands that now they're working with. And it's just, it makes me feel good because at heart, I feel like I'm a teacher at heart, a mentor at heart. And so when I see people, you know, if their goal in life is to spend more time with their kids, and one of the ways that they can do that is by getting paid, you know, to take photos of them, then that makes me happy.
Right.
I love it.
So these 15 pictures, so you've got them, your brand ambassadors, you sent out an email, you got your 15 pictures, but they were also put out there and boosted on each one of your brand ambassadors' website, generating even more interest, correct?
Yeah. So it's either if they have a blog, then we incentivize them to write blogs about us on their own website. Mm-hmm. If they don't, we provide, I mean, I haven't really outlined it very well in depth, but a lot of our influencers now have now become content creators for us. So they'll write for us on our blog and we'll say, hey, we have this. So like I did the Father's Day thing, we just needed photos. So a lot of those were on Instagram that they were posting them and then tagging us with like Father's Day sort of stuff. But then for us, let's say that we say, okay, we need to have a blog written on things you need to know when you take your baby to the beach or something like that. So we have, I don't know, half a dozen or so of our influencers also write for us. They pick which one wants to write it. And then we pay them between 5 and 10 cents a word. So if you're looking at like a, you know, 2000 word article, say on the high end, you're looking at $200 for that. Otherwise it'd be $100 for a 2000 word article at 5 cents, which is like amazing. And the quality of the writing is really good because they have been using our products for so long. They get it. And then we just take it internally. We do the SEO edits all on our end, but, yeah, I mean, it's, that was kind of a, not a direct answer of your question, Norm, but.
Yeah, but the content is so important. So, you know, one of the most important things you can do on Google right now is have high quality content. Mm-hmm. It's always been there. Google is a knowledge and education based algorithm. That's what they want. And if you can put it out there And especially if it's a longer article, like 1500 words or something, that would be great. Now you're paying, I mean, you are paying a pretty good price for that. But that's one of the things that you've built into the culture of your company, is that you'll pay for something of, you know, of quality. This is an area that if you nickel and dime people, if they're out there to help promote you, and they'll almost do anything to push your brand because they love it. And let's say you want them to write an article. Don't give them half a cent. You know, all you're going to do is just jeopardize the relationship. Like, really, truly build it. That $200, I mean, guys, if you have a good article, well, let's just throw this one over to Shane. So Shane's the president of PR Reach, and it is a content marketing company. Good quality content, Shane. What does that do for you?
Well, it's everything. And like you said, you know, Google's, that's what they're looking for, right? Content. They, you know, ideally they like different multimedia formats too, but and the days are gone of obviously keyword stuffing. Those have been gone for a long time, and just fluff. You want something that people's actually going to read, and it needs to be pretty long. It's not everything has to be long, but generally it's got to be above 1200 words. Otherwise it's a little tougher to rank, but yeah, man, you know, that user quality writing is absolute gold, because you can hire the best writer in the world, and if they don't really understand your product or your service, it's just not going to resonate. So like that's beautiful. And you know, here's Paul, he's did this, you know, started the journey where it led him with all these like 6,000 images. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That would cost like tens of thousands of dollars, if not more. So
more, definitely more.
And then the content on top, it's.
Yeah. And the other thing about the content though, I mean, there's another angle to this. If you go one step further and you have a really good, somebody that understands blogs and formatting of blogs, and they put in the proper formatting, that's a whole other ball game. Mm-hmm. So if you've got, you know, somebody that you've hired for $2 that knows nothing about formatting and they can put up pretty designs, that's really not doing your company any justice. This is where I would go to a company like FreeUp or Upwork and find somebody that knows how to properly put together and format that content to, and within that content, here's another tip. So put an image that you'd be putting on Amazon, mm-hmm. or a video to keep them on the page longer. But anyways, this is where what Paul's system does is it really does allow you to hit 3 or 4 or 5, 10 different angles of touch points to get people interested in the product.
Yeah.
So
I was looking at one of the articles that we had written for us. It's about 700 words, so it's not huge, but it's been responsible for 157,000 impressions in the past 3 months, about 3,000 visits. So it's not a ton of visits, but that's just one article. And it's only 700 words.
Wow. Only 700.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so let's get to a few questions here, Kels.
Yes, we got lots actually that came in. So our first one is from Alan.
Okay.
Okay, so he says, is there a platform you recommend for sourcing micro-influencers?
Well, so this is where I'm going to say, like, I really believe that you can do it yourself. I don't necessarily like platforms because the platforms are going to charge you an extra fee most of the time. And realistically, it really just depends on where your influencers hang out. So the biggest channels that there are right now would be Instagram. TikTok has just exploded in the past 3 months. YouTube and Facebook. Snapchat, I don't know where Snapchat just sort of fell off the map. I think with the advent of TikTok, Snapchat just kind of took a back seat. But, I mean, also Pinterest. So you would want to look at your brand. So we know in our brand, our average purchaser is a mother with 2 or 3 kids in her 30s. And so she lives on Instagram. She has a Facebook account. She uses Pinterest. But the main one that she's on all the time is Instagram. So for us, Instagram makes the most sense. So what we do is we just you can either get them to come to you or you can proactively reach out to them. But I mean, really what I would do is if you're proactively reaching out to them, Alan, you just you'd want to do a good hashtag tree, figure out what people are tagging related to your products, and just search those hashtags and then just, you know, DM people. I would look for accounts between 500 and 5,000 followers, because oftentimes these people within that group haven't ever really had a brand approach them. And the fact that you're approaching them as a brand is super flattering for the most part. And so they would probably be willing to give you some photos in exchange for just a product or two. So I don't like platforms. And again, this is something that, you know, we have a whole system behind. So while it may seem simple to me, it may not seem that simple to you, but it isn't really that complicated in my opinion.
It's just time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just time.
Yeah. So do you guys know Mayan Gordon?
Maya Gordon or
Mayan?
No, I don't.
Oh my God. Anybody listening, you gotta check her out. She usually goes live on LinkedIn, but she came on and she was talking about, she's a TikTok influencer. She's got 2 million people following her. Damn. And she's incredible. One of the tips that she told us was, look, take a look at TikTok. You can have a massive influencer on TikTok, and you send them out a request, you start following, and you start sending them a request, just exactly like you said, they'd be flattered to do it for, you know, product or maybe a little bit of money. The same amount over on Instagram, if you've got a huge influencer, would cost you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to get them to work. So she's recommending that, yeah, look, if you've got the demographic, check out TikTok, because right now it's like when Instagram was just starting out and, you know, getting those large influencer pools.
Yeah.
Okay. So should we throw in another question?
Sure. Yeah.
We got about like five, I think. So the next one, you kind of touched on it, Paul. What type of influencers are best? IG, YouTube?
It's wherever your audience hangs out. I wouldn't necessarily say one over the other, but like Norm said, that each platform has its own idiosyncrasies that you need to understand. If you're going to do stuff on YouTube, ideally what you're going to, so I will give you an example of what not to do. I learn a lot through failures. And if you don't learn through failures, are you even in business? So I was dead set on, so Norman said, like most people know me from my chat marketing university, this CMU. And so when I talk about influencer stuff, they're like, well, I thought you just did bots. I'm like, no, I do stuff that works. Chatbots are amazing. That's why I talk about them. So is influencer marketing. Actually building a real brand is the best way to go. So I was dead set to do this funnel from YouTube to go into Messenger last year. And I was like, I'm going to set this whole thing up, reach out to YouTube influencers. And I was trying to get it done quickly. And I found this one channel there called Lake Life Family. So you can go follow them. They have like, I don't know, 50 or 100,000 followers or something like that. What I didn't realize was that all of the followers on this channel were followers of the guy's main channel, and the guy, he's a professional fisherman. So the demographic right there, male dudes my age that go fishing, like they're not going to be the ones who typically make the buying decisions at the home. They just want to buy, they want to learn how to fish better, or they're watching this guy like fishing, like, oh my gosh, I wish that was me, look at that fish he caught, he's getting paid to fish. I didn't do that research, so I reached out to them, I followed them, I watched a bunch of their videos, the family side videos, and I was like, oh, they have good engagement, but I didn't see that the engagement was all dudes commenting on the videos. I didn't think about that, but I was seeing that they were replying to the people. So I was like, okay, so they're engaged with their followers. They reply when people comment and stuff. So I reached out to them and I was like, hey, we want to do this thing with you. We'd like to do a giveaway for your followers. And what would you charge? And they're like, well, normally we charge $1,500 for a 30-second bid, but we'll give you a discount. And so I was like, $750, half price. Like, oh, that's amazing. So shipped them our stuff. They were supposed to do this whole unboxing and talk about it. They put us 13 minutes into a 17-minute video and gave us about 30 seconds and didn't even say our name right of our brand. $750 straight down the drain. We had five people sign up for that giveaway. Five. out of, they had at the time 50,000 followers. So that's what not to do. So coming back to answer the real question, which one is best? It's wherever your people hang out. If they hang out on Instagram, use an Instagram influencer. If they hang out on YouTube, use a YouTube. If they hang out on Pinterest, do Pinterest. It's really up to wherever your people are hanging out.
And Pinterest is an incredible platform, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're targeting women are, I think it's 80% of the Pinterest population, and it's also the largest average order value. So I would never have thought that. You know, I heard that last year. So, you know, don't think that Pinterest is a platform to avoid. It's a great platform to sell on.
It's, I mean, yeah, we've had one that's had 100,000 impressions on Instagram. Wow. Or Pinterest, sorry.
Okay, Kels.
Okay. So also for everyone posting their questions, we'll try and get to them as fast as we can, but we do have quite a few to get through. And if you're watching, like and share, please. I know you're watching.
Oksana let out a little hint, but if you do want to see me and Kevin King do a little TikTok dance, yeah, I think it's still out there.
All right. Kevin did a TikTok dance?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to watch that.
Okay, so the next question from Jade. How did you start to contact them? Your customer?
So initially what we did was this was 3 years ago. We had to adapt how we've done it now. So I'm going to tell you how we did it and how we've adapted. So when we first did it three or four years ago, there was none of this engagement bait algorithm that Facebook introduced 2 years ago. So engagement bait would be, if you put in the text of the post, comment on this to enter or tag it or like and share. If you put that verbiage in any of your posts, you're going to decrease the reach. Facebook will automatically decrease that reach. So what we did originally, and it was amazing, we got like 100 applicants. We had this post that we had an announcement that we're doing a brand rep search. In the post, we said there's rules to enter where you had to go tag us in three of your photos that like exemplified your photography skill. Comment on this post why your kiddo should be a brand rep for us, and then tag three friends. What we were doing there was we were basically just saying, can this person follow instructions? If they can do those three things, then we'll let them in. We had to adapt that because the engagement bait algorithm. The first time we did it, we didn't need to pay for any advertising. Like, it just went off on its own. You know, that like a couple hundred comments or something like that. And we got a whole bunch of applications. The next year, Facebook had implemented this algorithm that basically wouldn't show your posts if you were asking people to take actions like that. So what we've done, and it's still super successful, is we just run an ad. And so for your ad, it could say, you know, we're looking for, you know, influencers to share our products with the world, or we're looking for brand ambassadors. And then in the post, you could say, you know, are you this? So describe your perfect person that would use your product. You know, are you an outdoor loving family that enjoys, you know, quality time with your kids at the beach or something like that? That sort of thing, just to intrigue them to say, okay, that's me. And then you outline like, here's what we're going to get. We're going to give you if you're, you know, selected as a brand ambassador. We have a whole landing page that we funnel them to that shows them the exact benefits of joining. So we run ads and they come to us.
But that's about building your brand again, right? So when you showed me how you were bringing in brand ambassadors, if I were to go there, it's not just some junky page that was thrown up there. It is well designed. People want to take action when they see it. So, I mean, that's what you've got to do. You've got to build that culture starting right from the landing page, right?
Yeah. And I need to take a step back here, because every single thing that we do in our brand is brand first thinking. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is that if you're watching this and you know, you started selling on Amazon, you followed a normal course somewhere that basically they say, find a product that people are buying and make your own version. In my head, that's not a brand yet. It is a seed of a brand, but it's not a brand. A brand is something that is unique, that there's something unique about you that sets you apart from everybody else that would be a reason for why people would want to buy you over the other person. And it's not price. It's something else about it. So everything that we do in our brand is built with that in the back of my head, that we need to solve our customers' problems better than the competition. Our products need to be the best. We can't just say they're the best. They need to actually be the best. And so if you take that thinking and okay, so then how do the best products get represented digitally with a website? We try to do that, you know, digital representation. And then same with social media. How would this product be represented well in a social media standpoint? It can't be something where you're just, I mean, it can work, because people like free stuff. But if you want the long-term gains that you're going to get from building a program like this, you really need to be obsessed with your customers and obsessed with the product quality and make
right.
sure that you're doing your best to serve them.
Okay, we're at about 45 minutes. There's still a few questions here. Are you guys okay to run it up to about the hour?
That works.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, and you know, we've got so many people that are joining us live. Just again, thank you. I see Aiden out there, Oksana, Marina. Let me see, go down the list here, Janelle. So, you know, welcome. And if you do have any more questions, just, you know, throw them over in the comment box. I know there's a bunch here that Kelsey's going to be going through.
All right. So next one is from Norman. He actually has two questions. So his first one was, how do you track the sales that come from your influencer? And then I think we can kind of add the other one on into it. Does TikTok give influencers demographic information about their followers?
So yes, TikTok does. And when it comes to tracking sales, I'm just going to say that if you're looking at it as a direct ROI, you're not looking at it correctly. And I don't mean to sound rude. But with a brand first approach, you need to think about, branding is about starting and continuing a conversation. Marketing is about driving sales. This is not marketing. This is branding. So you can very well mobilize your ambassadors to be like affiliates for you, which we do. But you have to establish a solid relationship with them. And really what you're going to see is all of the peripheral effects, they are hard to track, but like, okay, we've gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of photos for next to nothing. The average dollar. So if you look at return on investment on average for any sort of earned media, so earned media is like a public relations hit, like parents.com, or even earned media can also be having people post about you on social. The average ROI is $5.20 per dollar spent. And that's, again, that's hard to track, but I just think if I just get my brand out there and be the brand that everybody talks about on social media, I will get sales. And that's hard to track because not everybody is going to be using a coupon code. Not everybody is motivated because they want to make money. Maybe they're motivated just because they want to be a part of a community. And if you then switch that where you're financially incentivizing them, you go, there's a psychological switch in people's brains that if you go from friend zone to paid zone, I would just say you don't want to cross that line, in my opinion. There's a study done for example, on these two zones, with lawyers. This is out of the book, Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely. And he talks about how, there was this study that they did where they were trying to get lawyers to donate some services or discount their services. Lawyers didn't want to discount their services because it was in the financial zone. On that, they're like, no, we charge what we charge. We're not going to discount. But if they were proposed like, hey, we would like to donate, we could see if you could donate some of your time for this charity, they then wanted to donate their time because it's on the relational side. So that's where I try to stay in is the relational side. When it comes to tracking sales, we have given our influencers coupon codes that tie back to Amazon. And so whenever people use that, we can see that coupon code has been used. But really the goal of this is not so much like direct one-to-one relationship. I don't know if that, did I answer that effectively, Norm? I don't know what you.
I think you did a great job with it. And Shane, when, you know, we're working with public relations, it's kind of the same thing. It's not a direct return. People always ask, you know, oh, what can I get if I do public relations, earned media, placement? And you don't have a direct answer because you're building that brand. But I mean, the head of our public relations department tells us it's probably about 100% return. And it's like, oh, I can't even, I don't even tell people that because, you know, it's unheard of. But typically, if something's kicking around on a longer period of time, or if you're on Good Morning America or whatever, you're building that brand. And I've got one last thing to say, and this is something that Shane and I talk about, is if you don't get to trust, you're not going to get to the sale. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if you want to say anything more on that, Shane.
No, I think that sums it up. And I like the way Paul differentiated between marketing and branding. I think that was well put. And, you know, branding's that long-term building relationships. And that's what it's all about. That's how you build a brand. That's how you survive. That's how you can easily move from, let's say you're an Amazon seller, you want to move into Shopify, other marketplaces, other platforms. That's how you do that a lot easier. You take that weight with you as you go. It increases your multiples. It does all kinds of things, you know, down the road. Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that I know for sure that we would not have had the Olympians agent reach out to us had we not done this type of program. We would not have gotten parents.com, you know, ranking us as the best in our class had we not been doing this. We had Pottery Barn Kids reach out to us, a buyer from Pottery Barn Kids reach out to us last January. That would not have happened had we not had this program. And the reason for that is that if you are everywhere, if you are seen as the best everywhere, and that's what this is, the goal of this is that we want our products to be everywhere our buyers are looking. So when they do their research, they're going to come across us as an option, as the best option. That is the goal of this, that we want to be in the best of list everywhere. I want to be number one. And so that's what this program does. It's not like you're driving traffic directly to Amazon with super URLs and that sort of stuff during a launch. That's different. This is just about proliferation, being everywhere. And that is, I honestly believe that this is why, I mean, we have maintained the bestseller badge for almost 2.5 years on one of our SKUs because of this. And we don't drive external traffic to that. We just do normal PPC on Amazon sponsored products, but everything else, like we're in best of lists. People are linking to that product. All the reviews are incredible and we don't do anything like shady. We don't incentivize people to leave reviews. We just make sure that we have the best product and we do a really good job of getting it out there so that people can see that.
So that's, you just touched on something where you don't have to do anything shady. So for newer Amazon sellers, they've probably heard about the evils out there, these black hat people that are going out and doing all this stuff. Well, just by doing it white hat being, you know, clean, there's so many things that you can be done. You can have so many advantages over the competition that, hey, they might have to do black hat because they don't know anything else, or they're just doing the latest tactic. I mean, this is old school marketing, you know, like there's a lot of different types of old school marketing out there, but getting people to love and push your brand, I mean, it's a winner, and it's 100% TOS, terms of service.
Yeah, it's what I tell people, and I've said this a lot, that if you have a review problem, you don't have a review problem. You have either a product problem, like you either have a product problem, a branding problem, or a customer service problem. You don't have a review problem. If your product stood on its own legs and it was an amazing product and you had an incredible customer service and a brand experience, people would leave reviews.
Great. All right. So Kels, next question.
You're muted there. Okay.
Kelsey, you're muted.
So this one's a little longer. Sorry. how effectively can we use influencer marketing to drive external traffic to Amazon, either by building a landing page for all traffic coming from influencer marketing and then redirect them to our listing. The objective is to track the performance of influencer marketing and bring external traffic. Thanks.
So if you build it, if that was your goal, is to track the performance, I don't know that I do a market. I don't know that I do a landing page in between for the influencer. I would just probably run some sort of promotion where, so again, I'm really big on competition. So I would probably do like a competition internally, get the team all riled up. I'm like, all right, we're going to do this cool thing. Whoever gets the most traffic wins, whatever the prize is. We'll do like spa days and stuff like that for our ladies, because you know that most of them are stay at home moms, and getting away from the kids is, especially now, is essential. So I would do something like that where I'd have like a cool prize that they could win, whoever drove the most traffic, and then just give them coupon codes and say, hey, you know, send your people to Amazon. But again, the point of this is to have brand proliferation so that you are everywhere. Your customers or potential customers look. One of the things that we haven't even touched on is Amazon posts. So because we have 6,000 lifestyle images, we can schedule out 3 posts a day like that. It's easy. And so we schedule out posts like for the next month, 3 a day. And over the past, 8 months, we've had 345,000 impressions with 12,000 clicks engagement, meaning people clicking to our listing from a competitor's listing on Amazon. If you're not familiar with posts on Amazon, you need to start doing it. Another thing that I haven't even touched on at all yet is Amazon Live. Because we have this army of influencers that a lot of them, so like Heather, for example, one of our influencers, she is an Amazon influencer as well. So she has an influencer account on Amazon. So she can start doing live videos about our products. And we haven't even started, like that's something that we have that we're going to begin doing in our brand, but we haven't even started it. And the two things, I really believe that Amazon is really throwing a lot of weight behind posts and live. And so if we can kind of alley-oop to Amazon something that they want more influencers on their platform doing videos, then that's going to be even more exposure. So that's another way that you can drive traffic to your brand. Amazon posts and Amazon Live, correct?
Yep. And that's something Shane and I have noticed just tons. We've been able to take, and Paul, I think I've talked to you about at least one of these clients where, same as you, they get tons of impressions. The click-through rate is just, I mean, these are people that would never have clicked through. Mm-hmm. So we get all these extra sales that we just stole from our competition. Mm-hmm. And your ability or, you know, the way that you're going to work with Amazon Live with this, I think you're the first I've heard talk about that, bringing the two two different like post and live together. People are not working with posts. Very, very few are not working efficiently with posts, and definitely are not working live because they think it's too tough and it doesn't have to be. Any thoughts, Shane?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the way to go. And what's great about the way Paul's doing is he's built up this giant library of images. And you know that his images are, he's got a whole variety. He's got unboxing images. He's got a lifestyle image. He's got polished product images, got blah, 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 all kinds of stuff. And that's really the secret to Amazon posts, is that diversity. You're not just, you know, someone go out there and take the same old photos or all unboxing photos. It gets pretty boring. To have that mix of different photo types is really important. And that's what you get through those annual influencer networks.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the posts, one of the clients that we handle, I mean, really great idea. He went after chefs. So the chef would be shown using the knife, and he asked the chef for a recipe so they could post the recipe. So it's something, because you get 2,200 characters with each post. And if you start showing these chefs with their recipes, not only can you use it for social media and build it up that way and build content off of that, but you can also have incredible engagement for the post as well. if you start a relationship with that chef, get them to do it live. And it would cost you an arm and a leg. And I know we're running really late. So, Kels.
All right. Should we just kind of run through these?
Yeah, let's go through.
Okay. So another longer one. How do you build a relationship with an influencer who happened organically after purchasing your product? They loved it so much that they kept sharing it without asking for a payment. Do you offer other free products, coupon codes for her follows?
So what I do is I just kind of take the everyone is a person approach, and everyone wants to be treated with respect and dignity. And so you think through it that, like, what would it take to make that person's day? How could you make that person so exuberantly excited that they can't help but gush about your brand and do that? And then continue to build that relationship. Don't just do it once, but like, what can you do to make her day? And say, hey, we've got this brand rep program. We would love it if you'd want to be a part of it. We have this ambassador program. You'd be perfect. Your kid is gorgeous. You take amazing photos. We would love it if you wanted to work with us. That in and of itself, like, is flattering.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Next one's for Messi. What do you regard as good conversion on accounts for likes and comments?
That is a great question, Messi. So anything above 5%, organic, I think, is normally, I mean, sometimes 10%, but like, let's say if they have 1,000 followers and they're getting like 100 likes per post, that's crushing it. I look more at comments than posts than likes, really, because comments are going to help the algorithm a lot more. When they see that there's conversation, when Instagram sees there's conversation going back and forth, then they want to share that with more people. So if you can find like 10% up, that's incredible.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we're almost there. So Janelle, in the new mom niche, what is the strategy for finding those micro influencers and reaching out? You're so right about it being flattering. Once a new vitamin seller reached out to me and I was so surprised and loved it. I feel like I'm like at 43, I just missed out on understanding IG.
Hey, I'm right there with you, Janelle. You should see our Instagram when I was managing. It was garbage. It was so bad. And so we have a social media manager now who runs everything because I'm just inept. I mean, I post on my Instagram like once every 3 months, and then I'll post like 3 times, and then I don't post for a long time. Reaching out to moms, again, you just want to, I mean, I'm assuming that you're a mother. Maybe you're not, but again, just look at it from their eyes. Like, what would make you happy? What would feel flattering to you? And if you're in the new mom niche, like, that's super easy. I mean, maybe it's just easy because we've been doing it for three, 4 years, but that's where we have the ad where we run when we're doing like our big sprint to get a bunch of people in. Otherwise, it's just evergreen where we have a link in our bio that you can go and apply to become a brand enthusiast. And honestly, we could do a better job of promoting the program year round. I mean, there's lots of holes that we have, and I'm still learning a lot. But as I'm learning, I want to pass it on and teach people.
All right. So I think that's it for the questions, Kels.
quick one. Has anyone heard about Amazon follows for brands only?
So I think that you mean by on your posts, there's like a brand. There's like a brand page, I guess, if you will, it's almost like really what they've done is I think they're just copying Instagram, really. So there's like a brand page that you can follow that brand so that whenever they add a new post, you'll see it in your feed.
Right.
Okay. And last one. So does, where'd it go? What's your approach for TikTok if you leverage it next to Insta?
I haven't started using TikTok yet because, well, I have personally been on there, and I have a bunch of ideas for videos. But whenever you enter a new social media channel, or just think of it as like a marketplace, you could expand. Like if you're selling really well in America, you could expand to the UK. But in order to do it justice, you really need to treat it like its own thing. You can't just have it be like an additional deal. So we haven't expanded to TikTok yet, just because we're so focused on what we're doing now. But I would just take the same approach. I mean, like Norm said, literally, you just reach out. Most of what I learn and what I teach has been me just saying, having a crazy idea and testing it, and either it falls flat on its face like the YouTube thing, or it really works. And then the stuff that really works, I just make better over time. So Meshi, maybe you could be the TikTok queen.
There we go.
Tell me how you're going to do it.
Okay. All right, that's it for the questions.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right, so Paul, last question. Mm-hmm. Any last tips?
I don't know. I think I've said this over and over again, but really just put yourself in the seat of your customers and think about your brand through their eyes. We all have confirmation biases that we look at our products and we think they're the best and we want them to be the best. So therefore in our heads they are, but really you need to try to remove yourself from that and just get into the shoes of your customers and try to see your brand from their eyes. And the best way to do that is you just have conversations with your customers, ask them what they think, how your products solve their problems, that sort of stuff.
Great. And Messi says, what's that, Kels?
I actually just got someone today with 1 million followers on TikTok.
That is awesome. Did they reply to you or did they reach out to you? That's pretty sweet. I had seen somebody that said they wanted to deep dive. I'm doing something more in depth for Scale for Etail. So if you're familiar with them, Christian Morgan, Shelley Simone, they run a group in the UK.
It's a great group.
Yeah, it's really, really good. On the September the 24th, I need to double check that that's the right date, but I'll be doing a lot more in depth with them.
Perfect. On the 24th. Okay, so Shane, I got to thank you. I didn't know if you were going to be on here with me because Paul doesn't answer emails. No, he does. He does. Actually, Paul's really good at answering emails. But, you know, Shane, thanks. And do you have any last words that you'd like to add?
Two things. Number one, I think that, hey, guys, like there's a million things you could do when you're building an e-com business. I mean, a million. But it all comes down to the root of the matter. And I think Paul touched on this a few times. And I say it all the time. Doesn't matter if you're doing a product launch. Doesn't matter what you're doing. If your product is garbage, you're just copying someone else, you're gonna have a rough go of it. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You got to make sure you're solving problems. You got to always put thought and energy into what problems you're solving for people. And I love the way Paul said, take it from the customer's perspective. What would they think? What would make them feel good? What problems are you solving? I think that's very, very important. I know so many sellers who got started early had great success for a couple years in those boom years of Amazon.
Yeah.
And then things started to just go south slowly. Competition caught up. They didn't evolve. They didn't launch new products. They didn't adapt. They just ran with one thing that worked for a while. But you need to think on your feet, and you need to have a good product. I think that's very important. Right. And the last thing is, Norm, I am just so horribly, horribly disappointed because I came on this lunch with Norm. No lunch has arrived. Like nothing has arrived.
Yeah, I don't know where my lunch is either.
Well, first of all, I can't deliver in Andorra, Shane. I don't even know what people eat in Andorra, but and Paul, sweet. Yours is arriving. Domino's will be there anytime now.
Sweet. Domino's.
Okay. Shane, how can people get a hold of you?
Just email me, shane@prreach.com. That's PRReach, not preach, PRReach. And yeah, I'm happy to chat.
All right, Paul. Okay, my friend, how can people get a hold of you?
So we're starting an agency. I'm going to let that cat out of the bag that you had mentioned that we're in partnership. So the chat agency, that is the name of our business that we're starting, Shane, Norm, and I together. So you can email paulb@thechatagency.com or paul@chatmarketinguniversity.com.
Okay. And Chat Marketing University, I want to give that a plug. What's that all about and how can people get involved with that?
Yeah. So this is what most people know me for in the Amazon space, because that's what I've been speaking on for the past 2 years. but yeah, chat marketing is, Chat Marketing University, we just teach basically the most effective tactics for Amazon sellers to launch products on Amazon, get reviews, and build subscriber lists. We were the first course ever on chat marketing. and more specifically the first four Amazon sellers. And it was all just stuff, again, because I had crazy ideas and I experimented. I realized nobody was teaching anybody anything. And so I was like, how hard could starting a course be? Incredibly difficult, it turns out. And I love it. I really do enjoy teaching people. So if you want to learn how to do chat marketing, CMU is your place to go. And we do cover, I will be releasing a module pretty soon about the Nano Influencer Framework, because we do a bit of chat marketing in there to get people into our ecosystem.
All right. Fantastic. So just once again, I wanted to thank everybody for tuning in today. And thank you for your comments, Norman, Aiden, Janelle, Messi, Alan, Marina. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support. And I think that does it for the podcast today. So once again, we'll be posting the whole thing live or the whole podcast and with shorter clips on Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy. And also, if you want to watch the video instead of the podcast, you can always go to YouTube, and we have content and shorter clips as well. So thanks, Paul Shane, again, for joining me today. It was great having you both here. There's so much to be said for influencer marketing and brand ambassadors. So I think that's it. Kelsey, take us away, sir.
All right. So if you're still watching on this outro, please like and share the video. If you want to find all the latest updates and bios and descriptions and full episodes, you can go to lunchwithnorm.com. And please, if you like listening to podcasts, follow us on Apple Podcast or Spotify. It does us a lot of good if you can just hit that subscribe button, download a couple episodes. We've got tons. We mentioned Mayan Gordon. She's up there. We have everything you could ever want. Branding, e-commerce, Shopify. Yeah, we cover it all.
Right. And if there's anybody that wants to hear anything specific about it, this is an offer to build your on-store or online store to maximize profits. Just let us know and we'll try to reach out to the person. And remember, subscribe to the newsletter. That doesn't suck. We've got it out there. We put it out. Actually, today is the every Monday, we put out a new newsletter. So check it out. And coming up on Wednesday is Jamie Parros from the Endgamers. And he's going to be talking about the entrepreneurial mindset. If you don't know Jamie, he's an incredible guy. And you're going to learn a lot. So tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern time. And we're looking forward to seeing y'all next time. So I think that's it.
All right.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Bye, everyone. Lunch with the